Slava Iisusu Christu, glory be to Jesus Christ. Welcome to day 42 of the Catechism in a Year, the Ukrainian Catholic Study Series. Let us go ahead and begin with a prayer from the liturgy of Christmas Eve. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Christ our God, without father, without mother, or ancestry, without beginning of days or end of life, for in your eternal birth a woman had no part, nor a man in your becoming flesh in time. You did not make the divine nature a slave, but while remaining Lord and Master of all, you put on the human nature. You sit at the right hand of the Father, but were hidden by the cave and manger. The Magi honor you with their gifts. The heavenly hosts glorify you in song. The shepherds watch in joy, and the angels praise you with a loud voice. With them, we, your sinful and unworthy servants, have arrived at this brilliant and solemn feast of your birth, and we offer you these hymns and spiritual songs. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all in your goodwill. O lover of mankind, receive our lowly praise, and bestow on us in return the riches of your mercy. Give us a peaceful life, subject to your will. Grant peace on earth to our country and all nations, and make all of us heirs to the kingdom of heaven, through the prayers of our most pure Lady, the Mother of God, and ever Virgin Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a beautiful reading today of paragraphs 190 through 196. Let us go ahead and begin. The Church celebrates the coming of the Son of God into the world with the feast of the Nativity of Christ. The birth of Christ is announced to the shepherds by the angel of the Lord. As Luke recalls in chapter 2, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Isaac the Syrian, in his homily on the Nativity, extolled Christmas night as a day of joy and peace. Quote, today the Bountiful One became poor for our sake. Today we receive a gift for which we did not ask. This present day threw open the heavenly door to our prayers. Now the divine being took upon himself the seal of humanity in order for humanity to be decorated by the seal of divinity. End quote. According to the liturgical texts, the birth of the child from a mother without a father is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel about the rock hewn from the mountain without human hands, foretold in Daniel 2, verse 45. In the Incarnation, the Son of God came from the bosom of the Father, and in his ineffable self-emptying, he took on our lowly state. Through the Most Holy Mother of God, he became what he had not been before, a human. The Church sings of the Mother of God, thus, the bright and spiritual cloud, filled with heavenly rain, today rises above the earth in order to drop dew upon it and to water it. At the birth of Jesus, the spring of grace overcomes the winter of unbelief. The Nativity is the harbinger or forerunner of Pascha, of the Passover. The manger is understood to be a sign of the Lord's tomb, and the placing of the child in the manger is a prefiguration of the placing of Christ in the tomb. The myrrh brought by the Magi is already an anointing for the future burial. As we sing in the divine services of the Feast of the Nativity of Christ, God the Word, in the Incarnation, deigned to limit himself in time. The beginningless Word mysteriously accepts a beginning. And in space, the uncontainable is contained by flesh. Christ accepted the humility of childhood to counterbalance Adam's choice of self-exaltation. When the Virgin received in her womb the Word of God, her womb became a noetic paradise. Noetic from the Greek nous, meaning mind or intellect. Her womb was thus the place of encounter between God and humanity. The ewe lamb carried the great shepherd in her womb, and then in the cave, Christ, the tree of life, blossomed from the Virgin. The wall of partition separating humanity from God and earth from heaven is now removed. Heaven announces this to the earth through the voice of the star and the starry host, the angels. The stable itself becomes a royal palace, and the manger a royal throne. Jesus is bound in swaddling clothes in order to unbind humanity from the chains of sin. Although it had been fallen, the royal image of humanity is now being renewed to its fullness in the resurrection. Fulfilling the decree of the Roman emperor that all people in the empire be enrolled, Joseph, who is of the line of David, sets out with Mary to Bethlehem, the hometown of King David, to be recorded in the census rolls. There, in a cave in Bethlehem of Judea, Mary gave birth to the child. Fulfilled are the words of the prophet Micah, foretold in chapter 5, verse 2, about the Messiah, the son of David, who shall come forth from Bethlehem. Obedient to the words spoken by the angel of the Lord, Joseph names the child Jesus, which means God saves, for he will save his people from their sins. The shepherds come to the newborn child, and magi from the east also arrive. The fact that the magi, representatives of all humanity, worship Christ, points to the universal character of salvation. In the Son of God, God the Father offers salvation to all of the nations of the earth. Creation joyfully welcomes God in the flesh, bearing gifts for the newborn child. Angels, their song. The heavens offer a star. The magi offer gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The shepherds offer their wonder. The earth offers a cave. The deserted place offers a manger. Humankind offers the Virgin Mother. The mystery of the Nativity, namely God's entry into human history, continues to this day. Today, God has come upon earth, and the human race gone up to heaven. In our church's tradition, the eve of the Nativity Feast, also called the Holy Eve, is honored with particular solemnity. Every home becomes a Bethlehem of the family. The table symbolizes the manger. Straw is placed under the tablecloth, and upon the tablecloth are placed the prosphora, or communion bread, a symbol of the child Jesus. A lit candle is placed next to the prosphora to symbolize the star of Bethlehem, and with a meatless supper, the family gathers around the table to prayerfully honor the incarnate Son of God. Christmas carols are sung by the faithful. In hospitality, homes open their doors to everyone who celebrates the Nativity of Christ. The high point of the celebration of the Nativity Feast is the solemn divine service, for which all parishioners gather. The Eucharistic Supper at the Divine Liturgy crowns the family supper. What a beautiful reading from these passages on the Nativity of Christ. As our Western brothers and sisters call it, Advent and Christmas, or as we would call the Phillips Fast and the Nativity of our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ, one of the interesting parallels that we as Eastern Christians view this season of Advent and Christmas is as a mini Easter or a winter Pascha. For us, our Advent, the Phillips Fast, begins 40 days before the Nativity. It begins back in November on the Feast of St. Philip. That number association between 40 in our Advent and 40 in Great Lent is on purpose. If we turn and look at paragraph 192, we see the Nativity is seen as a harbinger or a forerunner of Pascha. The spring of grace overcomes the winter of unbelief. The myrrh brought by the Magi is already an anointing for the future burial. In these passages, we are learning to appreciate that this festive season of the birth of Christ is not an end in and of itself. The great Roman Catholic liturgist, Father Louis Bouillet, a student of both the East and the West, and a very revered liturgical expert, would go on to write that there are a number of ways that our modern world influences us to steer us away from a proper, full Christian understanding of this season. One of his points that he made in his book, Life in Liturgy, was not to get caught up on whether or not December 25th was the actual historical date that Jesus of Nazareth was born on. Louis Bouillet, in his writings, draws attention to the fact that in the earliest years of the church, and in the early and late Middle Ages, the primary Christian understanding of this great season of Advent and Christmas was on the parousia. That is to say, that the Nativity Fast, the Philip's Fast and the Nativity, were ultimately seen as a preparation not for a historical event that had already occurred, but for the historical event that is yet to happen when Christ returns in glory. He points out in the Latin liturgy preparing us of Advent, all of these conceptions pointing to the Advent or the coming of Christ. And indeed, if we look ourselves at the passages, the readings, and the prayers during the Philip's Fast, we can see strong parallels between them and Great Lent, looking forward to the resurrection. If we also take a look here at this beautiful passage, according to the liturgical text in paragraph 191, from a mother without a father, and the reference to the Son of God coming from the bosom of the Father and taking upon our lowly estate. One other way that we can reflect upon this beautiful season of the Nativity is to realize that the Nativity is not principally about a happy birthday Jesus movement. It is a reminder, but we are only celebrating something that has happened in the past. And we are celebrating that with a view to the resurrection, with a view to the crucifixion. St. Paul would write in his letters, if Christ is not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain. And thus, we view the Nativity not as the end, but as one stepping stone leading us to the great Passover and the great Pascha of Christ. So as we approach and celebrate this beautiful season, let us remember our Lord's birth, but let us also turn and look towards the birth that we are being called to into eternity. Let us turn and look towards his coming again. Let us turn and look towards that great feast of feasts, which is the resurrection coming in Easter in our celebration of Pascha. If we look down at paragraph 196, that references our church's tradition and the singing of carols. One interesting influence of Ukrainian culture into modern American culture is the beautiful song, The Carol of the Bells. Interestingly enough, it was popularized after the movie Home Alone with Macaulay Culkin back in the 90s. And it was not originally written as a Christian hymn or a Christian Christmas season. It was a secular or natural appreciation of the coming spring. It was written by Mykola Leontievich, who was and is now revered as a martyr and saint in the Ukrainian Greek Orthodox Church, executed by Soviet agents. Though originally in the Ukrainian language, it was not a Christmas religious hymn, The melody itself was adopted, and English lyrics were adopted and rewritten for it, and it has become popular throughout the world to this day. It is one way and one small influence of Ukrainian culture into American culture that many of you may not have known before. So as we celebrate this beautiful feast of the Nativity, let us call to mind the humility that God manifested in condescending or stepping down from the heights of heaven and from his throne to be born into a cave. All of this is a precursor to the struggle, the loneliness, and the abandonment by all of his friends and brothers that he would experience during the Passion. But let us look with hope, because we know how this story ends. And let us look with hope at our story in trying to fulfill and bring his life into our own.